flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going to be a day one or day two guy, most likely. But if he's going to have a great attitude, and he's going to be super smart, and he's not going to make mistakes. And there's value in that, right? There's value in that. So we shall see. We shall see. It'll be, I'm rooting for him. I'm rooting for him to have a great career, whether he's Mike White or Bruce Gradkowski or Tim Boyle or whoever the case may be. I hope he has a great NFL career, wherever he goes. All right, we'll come back. Partha Padia going to join us at 125. We'll talk to him about the Memphis basketball win last night and more. Stick around. Jason and John, I'm trying to film ESPN. Get it on your calendars now. Get your tickets. The River Beat Music Festival. It's coming to Memphis, May 2nd through the 4th, Tom Lee Park. Y'all know where that's at, right there by the river. Missy Elliott. Jason's favorite. The Killers. Love the Killers. Mr. Brightside. Need I say more? Luda. Public Enemy. Bus a Bus. I mean, there's whatever kind of music that you vibe with.
Yep.
High vibrations. Going to be abundant. At Riverbeat Music Fest. Get your 3-day passes on sale now, riverbeat.com.
A throwback to Memphis OG Showcase going to be included in the Riverbeat Music Festival with that local flavor, La Chat, Crunchy Black, Al Capone, Skinny Pimp, DJ Zerk, Gangsta Pat, and DJ Spanish Fly. This is a family-friendly event. Going to be having a stomping good time. You've got Ferris wheels out there, nightly fireworks, going to have great food, light shows as well. And so bring the family. You've got 3-day passes are available right now at riverbeat.com. Very simple, riverbeat.com. And you can check out those 3-day passes that are on sale right now. Get ahead of the rush. Again, remember the dates, May 2nd through 4th, down at Tom Lee Park, the Riverbeat Music Festival. Great lineup, as John said. And I am a big Missy Elliott fan. There's no question about it. And Anderson .Paak and the Nationals as well. Should be a fun time down at the Riverbeat Music Festival in the great city of Memphis, Tennessee.
Partha Padia is going to join us at 1:25. We will talk to him about his travel, obviously, but also Memphis get that win last. That's the most important thing, is that Memphis gets the win last night on the road at Tulane. Tough place to win. Not been good to Memphis over the years, and they get that job done, which was the most important thing. We have not talked a lot about the Super Bowl. Mostly because, you know, you get that 2 weeks, right?
Right.
You get that 2 weeks.
Ramps up next week.
Yeah. I mean, you got media day. I mean, not that, like, I'm paying super close attention to media day or anything that's necessarily – I mean, that's for the – I don't know who enjoys
Unless Marshawn Lynch is there. Does any news ever come out of those things anymore?
Yeah. I'm not sure at all. But something to, I guess, talk about. But for me, you know, you were asking me during the break, you know, have I made a Super Bowl bet?
Yeah, because there are prop bets out there and all that already. Yeah. Yes,
obviously. And I will make, like, last year I remember, like, I bet on the coin flip, the coin toss before the game started, you know. Like
you just wanted that fast action.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's just for the vibes, man.
You want to get in early.
I think I bet $25 on the coin toss, minus 101, you know. Man, I still pay juice on it, even though it's supposed to be even money. But
did you do the anthem and all that, too?
No, I don't do the anthem. No, I don't. Who is doing the anthem this year? Do we know?
Don't give me a line. Did I see Batiste?
Really? That's random.
Well, you're in New Orleans.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. John Batiste, you're right.
There you go.
Okay. Not necessarily familiar.
Oh, I mean, unbelievable musician.
Is he like a...
Yeah, New Orleans music. Yeah. I mean, I think plays instruments and everything.
Okay.
Yeah. I know of him.
We'll do prop bets next week on that.
Okay.
Because they're out. You know, you got the anthem length, you got the coin toss, you got the halftime show.
We would get
show.
How many songs Kendrick Lamar will perform type stuff.
Like, will he wear a hoodie for his first song, minus 128?
That's real?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You bet on all this stuff, bro.
That's crazy.
But what happens is, here's what happens. You can't bet it on, like, your, you know, regulated, like, you got to go to, like, Bet Online, Bovada, stuff like that. And what happens is people start to know, right? You got rehearsals going on, you know, and they'll take the prop bets down because people, the word will start to get out, like, oh, the anthem at the rehearsal lasted 95 seconds.
Right.
So you'll be like, oh, well, I mean, if it's in the last 95 seconds of rehearsal, then it's probably going to last 95 seconds in the action. So they take the prop bets down, like, Wednesday or Thursday of the game. So you can't just bet, you know, you just never know when those will be taken down. So we'll do those a little bit next week. But you asked me if I had any bets on the game. And listen, I obviously will have a bet on the game. I have not placed it yet, however. And the reason why I'm not bet it yet is because I like Kansas City in the game. Now, is that brave of me to say? Is that bold? Is that courageous? Do I deserve a Presidential Medal of Freedom and or the Nobel Peace Prize for that? Yes, I do. It's an incredibly heroic, courageous, brave, bold. You pick the synonym, Jason, thing for me to do to pick Kansas City in the Super Bowl. However, I think people who move markets will take Philly. I do believe that. I think they will bet the Philadelphia Eagles in this game because they have a lot of advantages in this game. I mean, 2 years ago, I mean, I don't know who we were talking to about this. Maybe it was Fitz. You know, the Eagles closed minus -2 over the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. They were favorites. This has now been flipped, and people, by and large, agree that these Eagles are better than those Eagles and that these Chiefs are worse than those Chiefs. So what's going to end up happening is that as we get closer to the game,
right,
that this is going to get down to a pick 'em. Maybe Chiefs become a plus +1. And that's what I will bet on the Chiefs. I will wait because this number, if it gets out to 2, it'll just get hit right back, right? It'll just get hit right back with that respected money on Philly. And I get it. I understand on paper, metrics, all those things, like defensively with Jalen Carter, Chiefs offensive line issues, like they're kind of mixing and matching. I get it. I understand all that. But I really do believe this. This is the closest thing we have had to Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. And as long as I can get that tandem at a pick'em or around a pick'em, I will pay to see it. I will just pay to see it. I mean, they have the coaching advantage and they have the quarterback advantage. That's the most meaningful parts of the game to me. I mean, yeah, can defense matter? Of course. But it's not that the Chiefs' defense is bad. I mean, they have playmakers. They got Chris Jones, right? They got Trent McDuffie, right? I mean, they got Steve Spagnuolo, right? So in the most meaningful parts of the game to me, Jason, the Chiefs have the advantage. If you charted 20 different positions, I think the Eagles would have more. But in terms of the weighted ones, I would say those belong to Kansas City.
I mean, I want, you know, just for history's sake, you know, I want to pick the Eagles.
You want to pick them for history's sake?
Yeah, to stop the three-peat. As the underdog, at least as of right now.
That'll be $100 to Pat Riley. Make sure you write that down.
To get the win because most folks are saying are the opposite, you know, They're just taking the safe pick, man, because that's what they've seen.
That's what they've seen.
So I wouldn't mind what, in this case, would be a little bit of chaos there. You're throwing off one of the, you know, if not arguably the best coach we've ever seen, and banking on Patrick Mahomes making a mistake.
Right.
Things that don't normally happen.
That's right.
The way you do that is by hitting a Chiefs weakness, which has been stopping the run. My issue is Andy's been preparing for that. Spags has been preparing for that. Set that to the side there. Jalen Hurts obviously going to be good, but that defense, man, that defense is not going to let KC run off. And so there's all kinds of ways that Philly keeps in this game
and pulls it out, dude. It will be a close game.
I think Philly, again, what I trust most probably out of the four units, man, is that Philly defense. You know? Again, KC's offense is just not as explosive as hell, frankly. I mean, they haven't had to be explosive the last two, three years. They found other ways. That's what's so genius about them all. KC's defense, you know, Spags will make the call at the right time, but that's a dominant unit over there with Carter and those guys, man. And so, you know, if I trust anything the most, it's that Philly defense. It's probably going to be Patrick, but I could easily see Philly winning this game.
Yeah.
Saquon Barkley has been on a mission.
No, I totally agree with you. I mean, the run defense is a massive.
See, they have to scheme to stop it.
Yes,
they'll have to scheme to stop it. And can you with that roster? I'm not sure. Spags, I give them all the credit in the world, all the respect in the world. But man, that line that Barkley has too. And then you talk about the quality of runner he is, the way he can read blocks.
Right.
It could be just the kind of combination to kill this dynasty, or at least the shot at a three-peat for the first time.
Andy Reid is 21-4 off of a bye and for his career.
I've seen the two-week thing.
84%.
That much time to prepare for you. Yep.
So I do think, in a way, the Bills going off the way they did that last week on the ground hurts Philly. Because it's gonna be the thing, right? It's gonna be
But it's a different thing coming at you, though.
It is. Saquon is amazing.
Not many have stopped.
No, they haven't.
Barkley and this Eagles rushing offense.
They have not.
It's their line too. Is
right.
You have to include it because it's such a big part of the domination.
You're exactly right,
dude. They got guys like, isn't it? You would know this. Isn't Mekhi Becton killing for them now after being a bust early?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in especially in the run game. I mean, where he's just able to use his size
crushing people.
And just
was he 6'8", 6'9", something? He's a huge dude that was a bust for y'all.
Massive. Yeah. Oh yeah.
Well, they coached him up over there.
Well, it's also because they moved him to guard where he probably belonged in the first place. But
run blocking.
Whew.
And you got Saquon Barkley behind that. Again, Spags can scheme, but you're going to have to be pretty darn good to stop this one.
Yeah, it's funny the Eagles started 2-2 this year, and they finished 14-3. I mean, they finished 12-1 the last 13 games of the season, including wins against the Ravens, right? I mean, they
kind of flipped to what they did last year when they got off to the red-hot start.
That's right.
You know.
Yeah,
wheels came off.
They closed really strong.
I mean, really, they only had that one loss in the season was what that Washington loss with Kenny Pickett starting and Tanner McKee getting in there.
That's right.
Come on, no Saquon. Come on, not
that's
gonna
it.
Go for the
that's right. That's right. I mean, yeah, Jalen, they were up 21-7 before Hurts got injured. So yeah, I don't even know if you necessarily would count that one. I don't know. You count it, but it's one of those that kind of comes with an asterisk. So yeah, listen, they have been one of the two best teams probably in football. You know, maybe three, four, I don't know, for the duration of the season. So this number is correct. 1.5 either way I think would be fair. You know, I'm just going to say that, like, in a tight game where it might come down to getting a first down, not turning the ball or whatever the case may be, I'm just going to roll with Pat.
Yeah, Pat and Andy Reid. It's smart.
Yeah, I mean, and again.
If I had real money on it, I'd be with you.
But, I mean, you know, I do think back to that Super Bowl 2 years ago. That was the best game of Jalen Hurts' career, I would say. He had the one fumble that went for a touchdown. You know, that was unfortunate. And that ended up probably being the difference because that's the way it goes in the NFL. But he was brilliant otherwise. I mean, he had that two-point conversion. He was throwing the ball all over the field. So, I think it's going to be a great game. I do. I think it's going to be, you know, if you're one of those people – You could probably tease this, you know, if you're going to do that route, you could probably tease Eagles to, you know, 7.5, and you could tease Chiefs, you know, to plus 5.5, whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
And it's probably going to fall within that range, right? Give yourself, you know, a chance to win sort of regardless of who wins, right? I think that's I don't think either of these teams is going to be able to create any kind of margin. So that, you know, I mean, when you think about the times that Pat actually did get beat by margin, it's happened very rarely, but it's when that offensive line completely failed them in that Super Bowl against Tampa Bay. And his line is pretty good this year. I mean, they're doing the best they can. They move some guys around, but they've done a good job of protecting him. So,
and we haven't said his name, but if I remember right, he was not the defense coordinator when they went to the Super Bowl a couple of years ago. Vic Fangio, man.
Yep.
Who's got, you know, when he's got horses.
Oh, it was Gannon.
That's right.
Who's at Arizona?
It's Fangio now, and that's the other thing about it. It's not just players. It's what he does.
Yeah.
And so what he could throw, you know, at KC. Spags, we talked about him. He's a great one. So too is Fangio when he's got horses like this.
Yeah.
When he's got dudes up front like Jalen Carter.
Yeah.
But that he's been a big part of that resurgence.
I will say this.
Too.
Mahomes is 8-0 against Vic Fangio.
Wow.
He's never lost.
That's a hell of a stat.
He was the head coach of Denver.
Yeah. Well, he shouldn't have been that. You know, that's not what he is.
Yeah. But
he was calling his defenses as head coach.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's legit. That's a heck of a stat. Man.
And he was defensive coordinator in Miami in 2023.
So how motivated is Fangio to throw something at this kid?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and get his first win against Patrick Mahomes. Wow.
26.8 nice points stat. A game he's averaged against Fangio. 229 yards per game with 10 touchdowns, 2 picks, 96 passer rating.
Well, he didn't have a defense in Denver like he's got now.
That's true. I mean, this defense is definitely, I mean, it's probably the best that Kansas City has. I mean, it's number one, right? It's number
yes.
one defense in the NFL. So,
yes.
Of course, it's the best they've seen. And they did struggle, right? They did struggle even in that win against Denver, you know, which I would say is probably the closest they got to the defensive ability. I mean, it was a miracle that they won the game. You know, so that would be your bull case for Philly,
mm-hmm.
is that when the Chiefs have seen truly elite defenses, and that's not what Buffalo is, right? That's not what Houston is. They have struggled. They have absolutely struggled. So, you know, that would be a case. If I bet Chiefs going to be money line, I'm not laying 1.5, the new overtime rules, right? Remember last year, Mahomes said if San Francisco had scored a touchdown, they were going to go for two.
Right.
So, you know, this game could easily go to overtime.
Mm.
I'm not laying points here either way, but I will wait for the money line to get a little cheaper because I think it will. So, anyway, one more week.
Good luck to you.
Thank you, sir. We'll break it all down again next week. We'll do this all again. Okay. And we'll see where
Do those prop bets.
Yeah.
That'll be fun.
Got prop bets and more. Anyway. Should be fun, man. I'll be counting down the days, crowning the champion. Going, and again, make sure you set aside $100 to Pat Riley because you used a trademark in that segment that he
created. Didn't say it in an ad.
Oh, as long as it's not an ad.
Just like the big game.
Got it. But you can't
say. We can say 3-peat, 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 3-peat.
Yeah.
But we're not in an ad, are we?
Right. You can't say.
I'm pretty sure that's how it works, the big game.
You can't say the big game in an ad.
Correct.
You can't say Super Bowl in an ad.
You say Super Bowl 7 times right now.
Right, I guess you can say it now.
All day long. But can't do it in an ad. You
so
understand?
That's why I call it the NFL game in February. Like, it's an NFL, you know, you can't call it what it is. Stupid, but.
So Riley can get you if you put it in
right.
your RIJ or something.
That's right.
I think
he can. I don't know if he's like our man Michael Buffer, though. Like, who, you know, he comes out. He's got, like, people.
But he has 12 trademarks on it. So my guess is he does have a team out there, you know, that hunts some of them down to get a little payday.
That's right.
Because otherwise. Why do you need the 12 of them? He's got like all the different ways you can say it, hyphenate it, everything.
That's right. And so
my guess, if you put it on a T-shirt, you owe Pat Riley and sell it. Do you owe Pat Riley? I believe that would be the case with him owning the trademark on the phrase.
Yeah,
and then the phrase worded any kind of way that you could, you know, spell it or you know hyphenate it any kind of way. He's got all of them.
Yep. Michael Buffer's phrase, his trademark catchphrase, has generated $400 million in revenue from licensing.
Now his is different though, right? Where you can't even say it. Can you?
I don't know.
Don't even try to do what we just did with the big.
No, I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to say
it. Do not, because he's listening.
No, I'm not going to say it.
For some reason, I feel like his
same
is different.
Apply, though, see, to
I would think
so. we got to get you
back on the training module so you can find out the answer for.
We just got a text message from one Brad Carson who I'm stepping in for.
I know he's very sensitive.
Just
about
an FYI.
I'll just be careful.
Never say the phrase, it is copyrighted.
Never say.
Told you.
Don't even talk about it. He said, I get nervous.
So this brings up the obvious question. How is that different than what Pat's got?
I don't know.
I don't know.
I'm not
touching
Have
it.
We just screwed up?
No, because we didn't
say it. No, we haven't said it. I don't think so. I don't.
That's what I'm saying. I need to know what that difference is. We need to find that out sometime this weekend.
It's amazing.
Buffer's got it on lock.
If you say Michael Buffer's name, Brad appears. It doesn't matter if like he's even in the building. Like he just kind of magically appears and tells you not to say it.
Yes,
it's because they know. I mean, at this point, we all know.
But
it's a no go.
Yeah, but I wouldn't say it. I wouldn't say the phrase. Okay. I would not. I would never say it.
Never speak it.
No matter. Even when I'm walking around my neighborhood, I would never say it because I know he's listening.
Oh yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
He's like in your phone. He knows.
Yeah, like he's like TikTok China.
Omnipresent.
Yeah. You know what I mean? He's stealing my data, and he knows I'm never going to say it. You know. Anyway, we'll come back. Parthi Pandya going to join us on the other side. We'll talk to him about Memphis basketball getting the dub last night in New Orleans and more. Stick around. Jason and John, ID Trying to FM. Yeah.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parthi Pandya covers the Memphis basketball program for the Daily Memphian aerially as well. Joins us every single Friday, and he joins us now. Parth, where do you come to us from?
I'm sitting on the rooftop of my hotel that I was at in New Orleans. I checked out of the hotel, but they were kind enough to let me out and do some work here on the roof, so taking in some sights and sounds from the Big Easy before I hop on a flight to Houston.
That's
bro, great. You stay enjoying the scenery.
You do. You live it up.
Got to, man. Like, look at this schedule. I was, you know, we've talked about it before, but Maui and Vegas and San Francisco.
What are you?
Philly, New Orleans, Houston. Like, it's been great, man. It's been a blast.
Yeah. Well, I have.
He's seeing the best parts of America, John. During this season.
Yeah, no, he has.
A lot of the best parts.
No, I mean, look, I have no problem with it, right? I mean, that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to take advantage of...
Including Hawaii.
You know, you're supposed to take advantage of your program's, you know, travel, right? Your program schedule situation. And so let me ask you this before we get to the game. So you got into...
Sure.
You've been in New Orleans since Monday. What have you...
I've not been in New Orleans since Monday. You recorded a podcast, I believe, Tuesday.
You flew in on Sunday night, and so you've been there since...
Get out of here, man.
What have you done? Have you done anything like, you know, like where did you make sure to see in New Orleans before the game?
Yeah, I got you. So I got in town Wednesday afternoon, late afternoon, early evening time. Got a meal on Bourbon and kind of walked around... looked at the memorial for the folks that were obviously killed by that driver that ran into Bourbon Street on New Year's. That was sad and certainly a somber moment there. But yeah, that's kind of what I did. And then yesterday, just kind of relaxed at the hotel, got another meal near Tulane. So I've been eating well, eating good, and then covered that basketball game. And I've been doing a little bit of work today.
Is Bourbon like? You know, because that wasn't even a month ago. I think it was a month ago. 6 weeks?
Yeah. 5 weeks?
I think it was December 31st. It was a month ago, right?
Yeah, exactly a month ago from today. Yep.
So is Bourbon like, I mean, what are, you know, the feelings like there on Bourbon? Is it kind of like, I don't know if you have anything to compare it to, but.
I'm sure somber, like
was
you
it,
said.
Yeah, like what was it kind of like being right there?
Dude, it's the strangest thing. I've never seen nothing like it. I guess if you've been to New York City and checked out the 9/11 memorial, obviously this is that's a much bigger scale that we're talking about in terms of deaths and the magnitude of tragedy. But it's kind of like that, right? Mm-hmm. Where you're walking through Bourbon and it's lively. There's people playing music and trying to sell you stuff and give you beads and all kinds of festivities going on. And you get to the end of that street and all of a sudden the noise and the chaos just turns to kind of almost silence, right? As people are walking by the memorial and paying their respects. So it was quite a contrast to see that on one of the most lively streets in America, that whatever it was, 15, 20, 30 feet of area there where they have that memorial.
Parth, how would you describe those last 10 and a half minutes? I'd round it out to that. If you want to say the last 10 minutes, whatever it was, when I think it was 23 to 10, You know, Tulane had taken the lead. Kobe Rogers all of a sudden, bam, starts getting hot. And then, you know, P.J. Carter's – it almost looked – you know, you go from believing, I think, that, you know, can Tulane win this to, wow, that felt like the team we saw against UAB. Just your thoughts on the second half of that second half during the time that the Tigers pulled away.
Yeah, it was quite a switch, right? Because, you know, the first half they made that what is it, 6-0 run, I believe it was, to go into halftime up 3, and I thought that was pivotal as well, just to have the momentum on that buzzer-beating layup by P.J. Haggerty that puts you up 29-26 at the half. But then you come out in the second half, and they look flat again, right? They're getting crushed on the glass. They're allowing several second-chance points, and you're like, okay, is this going to go down like one of the things we've seen before, right, in this building, in that arena with Memphis time and time again. But sure enough, there goes Kobe Rogers. And it was interesting because we've never really seen him be a half-to-half player. He's either got it,
right,
like from the opening tip, like against Clemson, or he's not had it, you know, in certain games this season. But we've never seen him kind of go through cold stretches in the game and then get hot all of a sudden. But, you know, sure enough, there he was. And it's weird, man. When that first one went in with, I think, 10:29 left, that gave Memphis the lead, gave him the lead for good, you just kind of knew. Like, you saw his body language change. You saw him moving up and down the court with a certain swagger and confidence, like, oh, he's not going to – that's not it. He's hitting at least one or two more. And sure enough, you know, drains three more, and Memphis pulls off a 12-point victory.
Parth, did you notice things happening with the rope and sort of the timeline of that and with the Tigers sort of pulling off? I ask you, and I'm speaking of the rope that was apparently going to be used to hold off court stormers. I bring it up because the ESPN broadcast did, and they actually went into a story of how – Tulane had given Memphis the head up, sent them some info during the week of court storming procedures. But then during the game, they started talking about it. A rope was being raised, almost as if Tulane expected, okay, we're going to be in position to win. And they had talked about how that was rubbing Memphis the wrong way. What was your sight lines? What was going on there?
Yeah, for where they had the media sitting, which was center court, but pretty high up, probably one of the highest seats in that arena.
Yep.
I couldn't see the rope, but I had Jeff Calkins send me the clip from the ESPN broadcast where they were discussing it, that the measures that Tulane took, especially after last year, right, where you had Green Wave students storm the court and someone shoved David Jones to the ground.
I'd forgotten about that part. I'm glad you brought
nuts.
It up. Yep, okay. Well, that actually explains more why Tulane would send this ahead of time, right?
Exactly.
Gotcha.
Exactly.
I'm glad.
Exactly.
Thank you.
Just to make sure the players had cleared the court or whatnot. And I wish I had seen it because I would have asked Penny if that was indeed a motivating factor for him and his guys or not, because it had to be, right? Like, you're prepping for this game, a team on paper that you're much more talented, better than, and you get this memo from the university saying, hey, just in case we beat you again, you know, this is what's going to happen. Like, that's got to plant some kind of seed in your head if you're Penny Hardaway.
Yeah. It was interesting, you know. You move up for what, three spots at KenPom. You overperform. I think they had it as an 8-point win at KenPom. You win by 12, which is a second straight overperform, but you don't budge in the net. I mean, obviously, I can't ask you to speak for the net because, you know, it's not like it's your system. But was it a little surprising to you that Memphis didn't get the accompanying bump in the net that they got in KenPom?
Yeah, I mean, it was a little surprising that the KenPom needle only moved by three. And John, you and I talked about it on the podcast, but obviously when they blew out FAU, that was by 28 points. So certainly a bigger margin there on the road. And at that point you had less data, right? So that one game is going to move the needle more. Well, since then they, let's face it, they kind of struggled in five straight conference games until the UAB game where they, you know, flipped a switch and got back engaged. So I think, you know, a 12 point win should bump you up, but it may not reward you. The system may not reward you right now until you string together maybe two or three more of these, starting with Rice on Sunday. But yeah, to answer your question, the net was surprising. I got back to my hotel, and obviously the net updated. I think it was late last night as I was about to go to sleep, and there was no movement at all. I figured you'd at least get to, you know, for Memphis, what, 30, 38, 37, 36, something in that neighborhood. But to stay at 40 after what I thought was a pretty convincing win, it was a little bit baffling.
What you're getting from Dane right now, Parth, after the switch, can you talk about just what he's done for that offense, obviously, especially early? You're it feels like, you know, you had that, I guess, you know, the you could have gone to that at any point this season. Feels like they're going to it even more, looking to post him up. They're getting offense out of the post-ups, hit Tyrese late. Just feels like Dane Danger is becoming a monster here at the right time.
Yeah, no doubt. And I'll even say this, you know, without Dane doing what he does, I don't think Kobe Rogers is able to get freed up late there, right? Like, yep. I know some of those threes he shot were contested, but there were some good looks he had as well that he knocked down. But without Dane kind of commanding the attention that he did all game, because, you know, he was the one keeping that thing afloat when Kobe Rogers was struggling, when Tyrese Hunter and P.J. Haggerty were having uncharacteristically bad games. It was him and P.J. Carter. But guys like P.J. Carter, guys like Kobe Rogers don't get those looks, quite frankly, and unless Dane did what he did last night, which was obviously score, 19 points and grab 10 boards.
We're talking to Partha Padhyay, covers the Memphis basketball program for the Daily Memphian, joins us every Friday here on the show. I wrote about that a little bit today, that, you know, if you think about last year on January 31st, they lost to Rice at home, right? That's the
we were in the middle of the unraveling.
Yeah, and obviously, like, I think we all kind of know that this team is different than last year, but one of the ways that I think they continue to remind us is, you know, Penny makes these starting lineup changes, and it's almost like happening without a hitch. Like, Memphis is actually better with Dane in the lineup, right? There's no grumbling. There's no, you know, reports about guys being unhappy, whatever. Baraka might have a DMP. It's fine. Dante might have a DMP. It's fine. Like, it just feels like holistically this team is more bought in by a football field than last year.
Yeah, no doubt. And I think that goes back to, and we've talked about it a lot this season, talked about it in the offseason, but getting these guys together June 1st, right, for the entirety of summer workouts, all those 8 weeks that they were together, getting them bought into the game plan and being on the same page and having that same mission, I think that's what's done it. Obviously, Dante Harris is an addition you made in December, and, you know, he's the only one that's come in late here, but I think Penny's been very deliberate, Penny and his staff, about or I guess Penny, because the staff, you know, obviously they had some turnover there before the season started, but Penny, when he got these guys, kind of making it clear what the expectation was, and maybe not, you know, over-promising, right, in terms of role, and explaining to them, like, you know, this is what we need from you, and this is what we can give you in terms of playing time, in terms of role, and then things may fluctuate, you know, depending on need, depending on matchups, depending on whatever it may be, and everyone kind of seems to be on one accord with that mission, with that game plan.
Yeah, to your point, like, it's not even, you know, P.J. Carter can, we knew he coming in here, you could shoot the three, and Penny needed to add shooting, but you would know, but I think I saw him taking a charge, he was flexing after taking it, he's getting you rebounds for you.
Yep.
You're getting, you know, it's a thinner rotation than we've seen previously, but to your point, it feels like you're getting the most out of these guys. What just, is it confidence? Is it more opportunity? And that's why we're seeing a better P.J. Carter, just in terms of now, it feels like that their trust in him has gone up too. Can he be a contributor like this the rest of the way?
Yeah, I think so. And I think, you know, for Memphis to be its the best version of itself it can be, I think P.J. Carter kind of has to be that guy off the bench, right, to provide that scoring punch in that second unit. But, yeah, we talked to P.J. afterward, after yesterday's game, talked to him and Kobe Rogers, and you know, I kind of asked him, like, you know, is it difficult to go from, you know, playing 11 minutes one game,
yeah,
4 minutes the next, 9 minutes the next, and now all of a sudden you're being relied upon and almost kind of penciled in, right, as a contributor with back-to-back 14-point games? Yep. Like, is that a tough mindset shift, you know, this late into a season? It's late January, after all. And he said no. You know, he said that he kind of knew – what the deal was, that nothing was be guaranteed when he chose to come to Memphis. And he talked about kind of going from, you know, playing his early career at a JUCO and then playing at Campbell, you're right, in North Carolina, then UTSA, and now at Memphis, kind of climbing that ladder. He's learned to, you know, not take things for granted, right? And he's learned that, you know, he has to be patient, and he has to kind of give the same effort level on a day-to-day basis behind the scenes, no matter if his number's called on a specific day or not. So I think that is kind of the mindset of not just him, but everyone else off that Memphis bench too, right? Everyone else that's not in a star role like P.J. Haggerty or Tyrese Hunter, those guys are, I don't want to say they know their place and know their role, but it's almost like they're happy to be complimentary pieces to this larger goal. And that goal obviously is to try to get a, you know, top four, top five seed in the NCAA tournament come March.
Parth, great stuff, my friend. Appreciate
hey,
the time,
man,
as always.
Hey, get the hotel points. You know, John says you're not getting them.
I am.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm getting the hotel points. I'm not getting the credit card points.
Oh, yeah. Of course.
Card,
yes,
right?
But you get the hotel points. You'll be in a Ritz somewhere in some Caribbean island in a little while. Yeah.
That's what
great Tigers beat writers do. Good job, brother.
Hey, man, appreciate y'all.
Yes, sir.
He is part of the pod. Yeah, going to be on the way to Houston for the Rice game this weekend. Nice win by the Tigers in New Orleans last night. We'll come back, wrap this up. Jason and John, 90.9 FM, ESPN. Robert Irwin Jewelers is going to have your back this Valentine's Day. You shop now through Valentine's Day. You got 2 weeks. George, do you have a woman in your life? I'm going to talk directly to you.
Directly to me?
Yeah.
No. Too busy.
We got to work on that.
Okay.
We got to work on that. Because if you did, and by the way, now Memphis knows, eligible bachelor.
Yes.
You're welcome. What's your Twitter?
Let me go double check. Actually, I had a bullet.
How do you not know your Twitter off the top of your head?
These types
King
of
George 94.
There you go.
How do I know your Twitter quicker than you? We got to work on that too. But
I try not to spend too much time on there.
George is an eligible bachelor for those who Italian George, as Jason has now.
As Gabe's called him.
Gabe,
oh, yeah. Got it. Italian George. But look, someday you're gonna have a lovely woman in your life, and some of you out there may already have that. Shop now through Valentine's Day. You get a dozen fresh roses and a box of chocolates free with any purchase of $99 or more. Get them over at Robert Irwin Jewelers while supplies last.
Yep. Diamond Essentials, classic collection of crafted diamond solitaire earrings, pendants, and bracelets featuring perfectly matched diamonds with excellent proportions, going to ensure you get a bigger and brighter sparkle, because you know it's always about the sparkle with the ladies. Those prices start at just $599. Got a lovely Love's Crossing diamond necklace that starts at $199. And as John said, just make sure you spend the $99. You're going to get that voucher. It'll be a voucher if you go in early like you should right now, 2 weeks ahead of Valentine's Day, and you'll be able to come back in and get those fresh roses and those chocolates with that purchase, obviously. Robert Irwin Jewelers is going to take care of you. How he knows what he's doing, go see him. Bigger, brighter diamonds, better prices at Robert Irwin Jewelers, 5 locations, or shop online at rijewelers.com.
Now, I was, we talked a little bit about the NBA, like thinking about limiting their games or shortening their games to 40 minutes. like 10-minute quarters as opposed to 48. Mm. I did see somebody recommend, I didn't even know they did this, but in the G League, one way you could cut down on time of game in the G League, did you know there are different free throw rules in the G League? You only shoot one free throw, and it counts for 2 points if you make it. You just shoot the one. You don't shoot two.
Can't do that. You know, a situation like Jaren last night. Houston ain't going, the NBA ain't going for that.
They're doing it in the G League.
Yeah, I mean, but well, this ain't the G League, bro. This is the pros.
Well, we're trying to cut down time.
Like Jaren did. Don't use that. If you're going to have to cut down this time, you go for the minutes on the court.
It would save a lot of time. It would probably save like just 20 minutes probably.
It's the dumbest thing ever.
So it's a little too radical for you. A little too radical.
Yeah, I'd prefer to switch to Elam ending before I do that. Something that's stupid. You're going to shoot to one free throw at the end of a game.
Whatever.
Maybe within the final 2 minutes, John, you actually got to shoot both of them.
Yeah.
You know, the way to get around to circumvent.
Okay. All right. Yeah. We'll bring that to the cutting room floor. Right?
Yeah.
We'll bring that.
What they're doing is ignoring the elephant in the room, which is that the season should be shortened, but they're not going to do that. And so they're trying to address it in some other creative way.
That's right.
But you could offset how long some of these reviews have gotten and how many times we're going to it by going down to 10. I'm not going to be somebody who tells you, no, you got to preserve 12-minute quarters. No. If 10 is what it is, that's fine.
Yeah.
It'll be fine.
It's, again, the math is if you go to 10 minutes a quarter, it effectively shaves 13 and a half games off for the entirety of the season.
That's the way they want. If they're going to shave games, it's going to be that way.
Yeah. So
get their butts in seats.
But again, when you're watching the NBA game, you're not thinking like, oh, man, this game is so long. It's not the games themselves. It's how many of them there are.
Yeah.
You know, but maybe if it was shorter, we would have a different view of that. I just think the NBA's got to get to a place where you anticipate the games happening, where you look forward to them happening, because it's just in a place right now where you kind of take them for granted. You're like, I got one on Tuesday, I got one on Wednesday, I got one on Saturday. Like, I don't even have time to look forward to it.
Yeah.
Whereas the NFL, you're like, you spend the whole week looking forward to Thursday or Sunday or Monday, you know, and look, maybe that's impossible. Maybe that's just not possible because of the differences in the sport. But, I mean, I do think that's the challenge. You know, and that's why the playoffs are so fun, because you do look forward to those games. You do look forward to that winning that fourth game or whatever, closing out the series, you know. But you know, again, it's just something that you know, they'll have to figure out and try to change. This weekend in college basketball, we have a couple of things. North Carolina, Duke, that's game day.
Yeah.
Duke's going to be like a 16-point favorite. I mean, it might be the biggest spread in the history of the series. I don't know.
Cal.
And then Cal's going to back to Rupp. So we'll see what the reaction is there. They should cheer him because they ran him off, but they won't. They'll boo him, and then the game will start. That's going to do it for us today. Thanks, of course, to Parth Upadhyay for joining us. Thanks to Anthony Sane as well. Appreciate George holding it down. Jeffrey Company up next on Miss It. For Jason, I'm John. We're gone.